Well, I've enjoyed ourselves already this morning. I was watching the three Ryman girls sing, and it was like, or Easter girls sing, sorry. My bad, Brother Mike. And it was like looking at three Ruth Rymans, amen, three Ruth Easters, amen. And I don't believe I've ever seen the girls in person. Like, I don't think I've ever seen them at this age, you know. And boy, it's a blessing. I've seen them on YouTube and Facebook and all that kind of stuff, you know. But it was a blessing to hear y'all sing this morning. And man, we're just looking forward to what God has for us today. I always love and enjoy coming back and being at Faith Baptist Church. I don't know if this is a special place to you, but I promise you this, it's a special place to me. Amen. If it's not a special place to you, why don't you go ahead and pack up and go away for about 12 years and then get a chance to come home every once in a while. I promise you this, it'll be a special place to you. Amen. And I know this, a church that's alive is worth the drive. And boy, I love coming back and being here and just so many memories. You know, when we pull into Delaware, one of the things that we want to do is we want to get some Scrapple. Can I get a witness? Amen. I mean, there's a whole lot of places around the country you don't have Scrapple. You don't have Scrapple in Illinois. You don't have Scrapple. We lived there for a little while, then Gulfport, Mississippi, and then Slidell for a little while. Then there ain't no Scrapple in those places, you know. And then you come home, and the first thing you want to do is get you a big old bite of Scrapple. Amen. And a wrap of Scrapple. Can't be that Delaware-made stuff. That Delaware-made stuff ain't no good. Amen. Get the real stuff, praise God. And that'll help you. And so get some Scrapple. And then another thing that I love to do is come into Faith Baptist Church. Amen. And God's honest truth, if I never preach a message here ever again in my life, I want to just come and just be a part of the services. And I'm thankful so much for the opportunities to come and preach here. What an honor and what a privilege it is. And looking forward to what God has in store for our family. We did take another church about 3 months ago. The Lord was beginning to work in our lives and our hearts, and we knew there was a change coming. And we took a church in Mississippi. I can't tell you exactly where at, because you may put one of those pins on it, you know, and then you might come there and start fishing and take all my fish. And you ain't going to do that. You ain't going to take all my crappie, amen. But it's actually in Grenada, Mississippi, about 15 minutes from Grenada Lake, one of the best crappie fishing holes in all of the world. And I'm so thankful for that. That ain't why we're there, but it's just a good benefit of being there, amen. And we took the church there three months ago, and we're just looking forward to what God's doing there. And the souls have been saved, lives are being touched, and people's being baptized. So what a blessing. To God be the glory. Amen. Great things He hath done. Amen. Can't take no glory for your own. It's all about what Jesus Christ is doing, and we're so thankful for Him. Jeremiah chapter number 8 this morning. We'll get into the message. Jeremiah chapter number 8. And we'll read a couple of verses here this morning. Jeremiah chapter number 8. And verse number 20, I always tell folks say, you know, I'm a pastor now, so they say, well, who was your pastor? And I always tell folks, I have three pastors. My first pastor is Pastor Dr. Alan Ryman, amen? And then my second pastor is Dr. John Robertson in Clinton, Illinois. And then my third pastor is Dr. Dan Carr, Sr., pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Gulfport, Mississippi. And I'm thankful for all three of those men that God has put in my life and has placed in my life. And you know what amazing thing about all three of those men are? They're different. They're different in every way you can imagine. One, you know, one specializes in compassion, mercy, kindness, grace. Amen. And another one may specialize in, you know, organization. We know somebody don't have very good organization, right? So he's got to bring Brother Mike in for that. Amen. And but they specialize right in different things, in different areas. And all three of those men have been able to be a blessing and a help and have invested in my life. And so I appreciate Pastor Ryman. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 8. I also appreciate Brother Mike Easter as well. I asked him this morning, would he forgive me for what I did to his car about 12 years ago? He said he would forgive me. Amen. So if you've got any questions about that, see Brother Mike after the service this morning. Amen. All right. Jeremiah chapter number 8 and verse number 20. The Bible says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of our daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Then there's a question that is being asked here. It says this, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we sure do love you this morning. And God, we thank you so much for this time together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this church. And thank you, Father, for Lord, it being a beacon and a lighthouse, Father, in this area, in this community, Lord, even around our country, we thank you for that. Lord God, I just pray that you would bless this service this morning. God, I pray that you touch me and use me. God, that you get me out of the way, Father, that Christ will be magnified and glorified, Lord, in this service. We are so excited about being here. But Lord, I believe it's preaching time now. So Lord, help me just to settle in. And Father, help me to preach with that unction and power that only you can give. And Lord, we promise, Lord, to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we do pray. Amen. Now in verse number 20 here, the Bible says this, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Now this is not the message, this is not the thought this morning, but I will have to say this, that this right here has got to be one of the most heartbreaking verses in our entire Bible. Can I just say this morning that you don't want to leave this world lost without Christ. If you leave this world lost without Christ, you are making the greatest mistake that you could ever make. Someone may ask this question, what is the greatest mistake that I could make? And we could go through a long list of things that would be a great mistake. But I promise you this, leaving this world without Christ, never asking him to come into your heart and be your Savior, I believe is the greatest mistake that a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl could ever make. If you're not saved, listen, today could be the day of salvation for you. Don't leave here lost without Christ. We would love to take a Bible. And we would love to show you how you can be saved, how you can have life and have it more abundantly. Now, if you leave this world lost without Christ, my friend, you are in deep trouble for all eternity. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, look with me at verse number 21. The Bible says this, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. He said, I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Then he says this, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Now here in verse number 22, there's a question that is being asked. And the question that is being asked that we're going to look at this morning is this, is there no balm in Gilead? Now balm is a valuable ointment or medicine. And so the question is asked here, is there no balm in Gilead? In other words, is there no medicine there? You see that? Is there no medicine there? And then the same question is asked, and the question is asked this, is there no physician there, which means is there no doctor there to administer the medicine? Now, the obvious answer to this question is this, yes, right? There was the medicine there for the people to be healed, and there was the doctor there for the people to be healed. Are you with me this morning? Amen. And so now another question then arises, well, what is the problem? Why are the people not getting better? Why are the people getting sicker when the doctor's there and the medicine is there, but the people are just seem to be getting worse and worse? Yeah. The Lord is the one here asking the question, and he says this in verse number 22. He says, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Now watch this. He is not talking about physical sickness. He is talking about the spiritual condition of the children of Israel. You know what they have done? They have turned from God, and all the necessary ingredients for them to return from their backslidden state and from their backslidden condition was there, and it was available. So what was the problem? This morning, I want to take this application that the Lord has made here and make a spiritual application to us today, something that I hope and pray will help us all. Let me say this morning very quickly, I believe that we have been given under our current president, a little space to breathe. As Christians, I would call this a space of grace. Amen? A space of grace. Let me just say this morning, thank God for this space of grace. I believe with all my heart that now is the time to get the job done. If we're going to get the job done with the gospel, buddy, now is the time to get the job done. I'm thankful this morning for this space of grace. But I also think that you would agree that for the most part, our nation as a whole, it's not getting any better. Right. Now, there may be pockets, and there may be spaces of grace, and thank God for it. But as a whole, I believe our nation is getting worse and worse. Now, unless you can inform me of something that I don't know, maybe you can inform me that crime has gone down all over our country. And there is no more, and there's no more crime. And maybe you can inform me that there's more people in church this morning than there ever has been in history. And that our families are stronger than ever. And that our churches are stronger than ever. But I think that we would all agree that that is not so. And things just seem to get worse. Right. And so I think that we would agree that there's a lot of spiritual needs that is in our nation. There's a lot of spiritual needs. Listen, as a pastor, I know this. There's a lot of spiritual needs in our churches. Amen. Listen, there is a lot of spiritual needs today in our homes. Listen, our homes and our churches and society, all three, are in a mess. And we're not getting better. The doctor's there. The physician is there. The medicine is there. So why is it that we're getting worse when all the ingredients to get better is there? And what is so sad is that we have the ingredients for our nation. We have the ingredients for our churches. And we have the ingredients for our families to be healed. And so the question is again this morning, why are we getting sicker when we have the medicine? That's what the Lord is saying. Listen, he's saying here this, you got the doctor and you got the medicine, but you're getting sicker. So all the ingredients are here. So what's the problem? Let me give you a few thoughts this morning as we preach on this thought. There is a balm in Gilead. Amen. There is a balm in Gilead. Now let me say this, number one. The reason is this. Some people don't know the problem. Amen. Some people don't know the problem. Now, whether we know it or not, there are just some people who are just oblivious to the fact that we are in a mess in our nation. We have lived with it so long that we've gotten to the point that most folks don't even realize it. Most folks don't realize that we are in a mess in our churches. Most folks don't realize that we are in a mess in our families. And listen, some folks don't even know what the problem is. Now, let me say to you this morning, maybe you're not feeling well and you decide that you need to go to the doctor. And first of all, you make an appointment and you go see the doctor for the first time, and on that clipboard, they will give you a bunch of papers to fill out. You will have to answer a lot of questions. You ever wondered why they ask you about the history of your family? Because they oftentimes, listen, they're trying to help the doctors find the problem. And they're trying to do this a lot quicker, so they'll begin to ask you a lot of questions. And you know, certain symptoms like high blood pressure and pain in your arms and all of these things, and so they begin to ask you all these questions, and you begin to circle the answers. Yes, no, maybe. You know, you begin to go through all these answers. And so you go through all of that, and you fill out the chart, and then the doctor, before he sees you, he will go through and he'll look at it. And then he says, okay, you have been having chest pains. You have been having sweats. You have been having pain in your arms, and you have a family history of heart disease. And so the chances are you are having a heart condition. The chances are you are having a heart attack. And so what are they trying to do? They are trying to figure out your problem before they give you your medicine. And listen, if the doctor gives the wrong medicine, it could kill you, right? I mean, you don't want the doctor to treat you for sugar diabetes if you're having a heart attack. I mean, that could be a major problem there. And so the reason, listen, church, the reason that people are getting sicker when all the necessary ingredients are available is because the average person on the street today does not really and genuinely know what the real problem is in our nation today. And let's just face it, listen, man, the average Christian has their head in the sand so far when it comes to spiritual matters that even the Christian doesn't know what the real problem is. Amen. And there's a lot of things that people think is the problem today. I mean, some people think, you know, Washington is the problem. Some people say the Democrats, they're the problem. Some people say, you know, it's the liberals, they are the problem. Some people say it's the socialists and they are the problem. And some say it's the economy and that is the environment. I mean, I would agree that all of those things are problems. But church, they are not the root of the matter. They are not the main problem. And they are not the root problem. And until we get to the root of the problem, there will never be a healing in our land. There will never be a healing in our churches. And there will never be a healing in our families. And so what is the problem? It's one word. Are you ready for it this morning? The problem is sin. Sin is the problem in our land. I mean, you can cut it any way you want to cut it. Listen, mankind's problem is not the environment. Listen, some man may say this, listen, if I could just get a nicer home, and boy, if I could just get a nicer car, and if I could just get a better salary, then maybe if I could just get $15 an hour minimum wage, listen, to flip a hamburger down at McDonald's, boy, that's the answer. But listen, that's got to be the stupidest answer that I could ever give. Amen. Listen, man, that is not the answer. There's been a whole lot of people that has come from a bad environment that has turned out good. Amen. Just like there's been a whole lot of people from a good environment that has turned out bad. Listen, church, it's not the environment problem. It's a sin problem. And in fact, we are born with the same problem. Red, yellow, black, and white. Sin is the problem. Amen. Listen, there's a call today in our world for socialism. Amen? And that call is this. Let's get everybody on the same plan. Let's get everybody on the same page, and let's pay the doctor the same as the guy flipping the hamburger. Listen, that's got to be one of the dumbest things that I can think of. In other words, let's penalize the one that gets a 4.0 in high school. He gets a scholarship to go to a Division I college, has the drive and the ambition to actually put in the blood, sweat, and tears, amen, to make a good life for their soon-to-be family. Let's penalize them while somebody else goofed off in high school. Why somebody else got high every weekend. Why somebody else played video games in their parents' basement until they were 30 and then decided to go and get a job. Somebody help me this morning. Amen. Listen, he wants to make the same as the doctor. Man, people are crazy. And listen, not having socialism is not the problem. Listen, the problem, my friend, is sin this morning. And the truth of the matter is this. The average person does not really know what the problem is. They will blame it on their environment. They will blame it on the color of their skin. They will blame it on not getting paid enough. They will blame it on poverty. They will blame it on a lack of education. They will blame it on their past and how they were raised. They'll blame it on the cops, and so they'll go out and shoot cops. Somebody help me this morning. And none of these things are the real problem, church. The real problem is the problem of sin. Amen. Go with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Romans chapter 5 this morning in verse number 12. Let me show it to you. You know why we have hate in America, church? You know why we have prejudice in America? I mean, you know why we have abortion in America? You know why we have homosexuality in America? You know why we have drunks in America? You know why people are killing and being killed? Listen, in Philly and Baltimore and Washington, the root of the problem is sin. Amen. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, the Bible says this. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Listen, church, mankind's problem today is because of Adam and Eve and when they sinned in the garden. Listen, they were in a perfect environment. They were in a perfect place, two perfect people, yet they sinned. And listen, Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden tree. They disobeyed God. And listen to me this morning, whenever you disobey God, there will always be problems. Listen, they had everything they wanted. They had a perfect environment. They were in need of nothing, yet they still sinned. Everybody is born in sin, and my friend, that is the problem. Romans 3 and verse number 23, the Bible says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And so listen, that sin is the problem. And listen, you can't start giving out the medicine until you first determine what the problem is. And so we could conclude this morning, church, I think we would all agree that sin is the problem. In other words, we have ran the test, amen. We have looked at the charts. We have concluded that from this book right here that we hold in our hands, this King James Bible, that sin is the problem. Amen. And so some people don't know the problem. Number two, some people don't know the answer. And now once you find the problem, now what is the answer? Boy, ain't you glad that the Lord always gives us the answer? I mean, he don't just give us the problem, but he tells us where the answer is. Amen. And Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 25, the Bible says this, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood, for how long, talk to me now? For 12 years. I think you would agree that 12 years having an issue of blood is a long time. It's a long time to be sick. Now here's a woman that had a blood problem, right? And she had an issue of blood. She had this issue and this problem for 12 years. Now look with me at Mark chapter 5 and verse number 26. The Bible says, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew what? Talk to me now. Worse. Man, she looked and she searched and she tried to find help, and nothing helped her, and all of a sudden she realized, man, I am getting worse. And I've spent all my money, and I am sad, and I am mad, and I'm angry, and I got a blood problem, and I have no money, and buddy, things are just getting worse and worse and worse. So now we see she went and she spent all her money, and she saw physicians, yet nothing was better. It actually grew worse. 12 years later, she has no money. She's tired from all her searching for help, and her condition has grown worse. Now, boy, I love this. Look with me at Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 27, the Bible says this, and when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Amen. Now listen, church, she had a problem. She had a sin problem. She had an issue of blood. And she searched everywhere for the answer. She spent all of her money upon physicians. And 12 years later, she finds herself worse. And she did not know what the answer was until she heard about a man named Jesus. And all of a sudden, everything in her life changed. And when she heard about Jesus, it was like she said, that's it. Man, he is the answer to my problem. Amen, church. And well, we have a problem today in our country, and that problem is the problem of sin. And can I report to you today, my friend, that Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen. The answer is not religion. Somebody help me this morning. Religion wraps people up in a false sense of security and sends them straight to hell. My friend, the answer is not education. Education without salvation equals damnation. The answer is not better jobs and a better economy and $15 an hour minimum wage. Listen, the answer is not better homes. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. No, no, my friend. The answer is Jesus and Jesus alone. And there is a problem, but thank God there is one named Jesus that can solve all the world's problems. Amen. And so sin is the problem. But thank God we know a man named Jesus that can solve all the problems. Matthew 1:21, the Bible says, and he shall bring forth a son. Boy, I like this verse. And thou shalt call his name Buddha. Thou shalt call his name Muhammad. Somebody help me. Thou shalt call his name Confucius. No, friend, it don't say none of those names. You know who it says his name is? His name is Jesus. And buddy, there's something wonderful about that name. There's something powerful about that name. Hey, there's something precious about that name. There is a balm. There is a healing when you mention that name, Jesus. Amen. And so you say, what's the answer to the world's problem? What's the answer to the church's problem? What's the answer to the family's problem? Jesus. Boy, I sure am glad that he is the great physician this morning. Boy, I sure am glad that I met him July 25th, 1991, 6:30 on a Thursday night. Listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know him, my friend, you can know him today. He is the answer. Amen. And so some people don't know the problem. The problem is sin. Number two, some people don't know the answer. We know the answer this morning is Jesus. And then number three, some people don't believe the answer. I think you would agree this morning that's very sad. Some people don't believe the answer. Now, don't get mad at me this morning, but let me just be honest with you. I don't like doctors. I don't like going to doctors. Amen. Now, I don't have anything against doctors. As a matter of fact, I have great respect for doctors. I have the privilege, God help me, to pastor a couple doctors. Help me, Lord Jesus. Amen. I love doctors out of the doctor's office. Amen. But listen, there's something that happens, brothers, when I get into a doctor's office. And that guy walks in there with that white thing on, we call it like a white, you know, robe syndrome or whatever you want to call it, amen. But buddy, it just scares me to death. And they start, especially when they start pulling out those needles, amen. And they start pulling out all those instruments to do stuff on you that you know not of. Amen. Miss April, you know exactly what I'm talking about, sister. I've been praying for you, by the way. Thank you. Yes, ma'am, appreciate you. But I don't like to go to the doctor. My wife will tell you that it's hard to get me to go and see one. Some will say, well, maybe that's just a male thing. Maybe it is a male thing. Maybe it's a financial thing. It could be a money thing, amen. I don't know. This, for some reason, man, they scare me. And this is not any disrespect to doctors, but you know, doctors are not always right. They're not always right, amen. And you know, it's called medical practice. And you know what they're practicing on, right? They're practicing on you. Amen. And so they're practicing on you. Now watch this. Maybe I'll have to call one tomorrow after this message today. Amen. I don't know. But how many times has a doctor given us the answer? Watch this now. How many times has the doctor given us the answer to our problem, but we did not believe the answer? We say, I know what the doctor says, but I know the medicine that he has given me, but I see the results, I see the tests, I see the x-rays, I see the MRIs, but I think I'll do it my own way. I think I'll go my own direction. I think I'll do my own thing. And you know, there are so many people that think the answer to their problem, listen, is a bigger house, a better car, making more money. No, the answer is Jesus, and it is Jesus alone. And some think I'll keep my kids busy in the things of the world, and that's the answer. Some think the answer to my marriage is buying a diamond ring. Would you believe this? There are some teenagers that think the answer to their problem is having a boyfriend or a girlfriend. That is just the beginning of your problem. That is not the answer, amen. Jesus is the answer, and He is the great physician. And let me just say this today. He is never wrong. He is always right, amen, church. And so what is so sad and what is so heartbreaking that as a pastor is that there are so many that do not believe that Jesus is the answer. I mean, listen, they may say it with their mouth, but man, their actions speak otherwise. Right. And you know what you are doing, my friend? You are spinning your wheels. You are trying to find the answers, and you are miserable. And the whole time Jesus is saying this, hey, look at me. I'm over here. I've been here the whole time. I am the answer. I can solve your problem. I can take your discouragement away. I can take your sadness away. I can take your disappointments away. I can give you a new life in Christ and Christ alone. And I am the answer. But you're going everywhere in the world trying to find the answer. When the whole time Jesus is the answer. I think about the woman that had the issue of blood. I think about all that she went through, all the time she spent, all the money she spent, and nothing could heal her. Then she touched Jesus. And immediately her issue of blood was staunched. That means it was healed. Jesus, listen, watch this now. Jesus was exactly the answer to this woman's problem. Exactly the answer. Listen, He was not just one of the answers. He was the answer. How many sleepless, miserable, discouraged, sick nights did she spend looking and searching for the answers everywhere under the sun, S-U-N, until she finally looked to the Son, S-O-N. Amen. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you might not believe it. And you may be sitting here this morning, you may be a Bible-believing Baptist. You may have a King James Bible in your lap. But there's a lot of people that have Bibles in their lap and ties around their neck, listen, to come to church every single Sunday, but they really don't believe in their heart that Jesus is the answer. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the answer to your problem today. And so, number one, some people don't know the problem. Some people don't know the answer. Number three, some people don't believe the answer. Then number four, some people flat out reject the answer. Right. Just flat out reject the answer. You know, we have the doctors. We have the procedures. I mean, the technology today is through the roof. I mean, the things that they can do nowadays is truly amazing. About a year ago, I had my gallbladder removed. And I said, oh, man, how are you going to do that? I thought it was going to have me a big old, you know, big old cut on my side, 6 inches. I'm going, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this or not. You know, I come out of surgery and I had four little cuts on my stomach. Man, just amazing the technology, the things, you know, advancement of things. And you know, church, the technology is through the roof. I mean, the things that they can do nowadays is truly amazing. But you know, even with all of that, people say this, I ain't going. I ain't going to have it done. I don't need to do that. I'll do it my own way. And many people, you know what they do? They reject the answer to their health problem. And there are many in days gone by that have rejected the answer. You say, who have they rejected? They have rejected Jesus. John 1 and verse 11, the Bible says this, He came into His own and His own received Him not. You know, church, there are many that have rejected Him and there are many who reject Him today. Revelation 3 and verse number 20, the Bible says this, Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. A man painted a picture of Jesus knocking on a door. A person asked the artist, why is there no doorknob on the outside of the door? The artist said, because the door has to be opened from the inside by you. You know, Jesus is a perfect gentleman. Jesus is not going to force himself into your life. Jesus is not going to force himself upon you. Jesus is the answer. Listen, can I encourage you today? Don't reject him. Amen. Listen, when he knocks on that door, my friend, would you do us all a favor? Do yourself a favor and open the door and let him in. Don't reject the answer. So number one, some people don't know the answer. Some people don't know the problem. Some people don't know the answer. Number three, some people don't believe the answer. Number four, some people flat out reject the answer. Then lastly, some people will not stay with the answer. Some people will not stay with the answer. Now, I was talking with a man the other day at the grocery store, and after talking with him about church and Jesus, this was his response. I tried that before. I tried that before, indicating to me that it was a passing thing. Have you ever been to the doctor, and he gave you a medicine, and he said, take these for 10 days, and if you're not better, come back and see me? And you take those pills for 2 days, and then you go back and you'll say, well, did you take all the medicine? Do you feel any better? And you say, no, I don't feel any better. Well, did you take all the medicine? No, I stopped after 2 days. Well, I told you to do what? Take all the medicine. Amen? You go back in 10 days, and the first thing that he asks you is this, what? What did you take? And the doctor gave you what? Listen, he gave you what was needed to fix your problem, but guess what? You just tried it. You didn't stick with it. Amen, church. And you know, there are so many people, my friend, they get saved, and they get on fire for God, and they jump in the baptistry waters, and they get put on a suit. Amen. And when the preacher's preaching, boy, they get fired up, and they'll shout it out. And the singers are singing, and boy, they'll shout it out and run around the aisle and get on the altar, and boy, and say, I'm going to live for Jesus all the days of my life. And then 2 months later, where are they at? The FBI can't find them. You know what? They tried Jesus. They got out of their problem with Jesus. Amen. But when it was convenient for them, they went right back into the same old mess that God brought them out of. Let me just say this today. Jesus didn't bring us out and save our soul and rescue our life and give us something worth living for so that we could turn right around and go right back into the same old mess. Listen, when he saved me, he called me out, he brought me out. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Listen, you know, there are so many people that get saved and they start coming to church, but something happens. You know what they don't do? They don't stick with it. You know, some get hurt. Some get offended. Some come for a month and they say, well, there's no difference, so I'm just going to go ahead and stop coming. Listen, you will never get the help that you need until you know what you do. You stick with it. Amen. When you get hurt, you stick with it. When you get mad, you stick with it. When you get disappointed, you stick with it. When you get offended, you stick with it. When so-and-so don't talk with you, stick with it. When so-and-so don't shake your hand, stick with it. When the preacher don't recognize you for doing your job, stick with it. By the way, you're not doing it for him. You're doing it for Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Stick with it. Get some guts. Get some grit and go on for the glory of God. Amen, church. Stick with it. Somebody came to me the other day when I was at the church in Slidell, and they said, well, I'm going to be leaving the church. And I said, well, why are you going to be leaving the church? And they said, well, you went around and you recognized everybody for all the jobs that they had done. But I did just as much work as they did. And when you came, you didn't mention my name. I said, how many people are in this church? She told me. And I think, man, you know, boy, this is so shallow. And something just kind of, I wanted to get in the flesh. But I didn't. I was like Pastor Ryman. I put on that suit jacket, amen, of kindness and mercy. And I said, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. They said, why are you so sorry? I said, I didn't know you were doing it for me. I mean, if I knew that you were doing it for me, I definitely would have thanked you, but I didn't think you were doing it for me. I thought you were doing it for Jesus. Amen, church. Look, you're not doing it for Pastor Ryman. You're not doing it for Brother Mike Easter. You're not doing it for the deacons. You're doing it for Jesus. Stick with it. Stop using Jesus just as an escape goat to get out of your problems. And realize that he is the answer. Amen. And so Jesus asked them this question, is there no balm in Gilead? Yes, there was. Is there no doctor there? Yes, there was. Well, you got the medicine and you got the doctor. So why are you getting worse all the time? Number one, some people don't know the problem. Some people don't know the answer. Some people don't believe the answer. Some people flat out reject the answer. And then some people will not stay with the answer. As I look around this auditorium this morning, I see a lot of folks here. But this is the reality. This is the reality. If everybody was here that was here when I was a member 13 years ago, there would probably be another auditorium built over here. But there are some folks that don't stick with it. And you can't tell me every man that's left is left because of the ministry. Every woman that's left is left because of the ministry. Now, thank God there's Let me encourage you today. Stick with it, because Jesus is the answer to all of the world's problems. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. Thank you so much for our time together. Lord, thank you so much for the sweet liberty that I have to preach this morning. God, I pray that you'd help. Lord, in this invitation, maybe there be somebody here today that does not know for sure that Jesus Christ be their Savior, that heaven be their home. Lord, I pray that they would come today and be saved. Maybe there's somebody needs to come and join the church or, Lord, be baptized. Lord, whatever the decisions, Lord, that there is that needs to be made today, Lord, I pray that we would be obedient and that we would obey the Holy Spirit of God that lives and dwells on the inside. Thank you, Lord, that you are the balm of Gilead. Thank you, Father, you can heal. You can heal our homes. You can heal our churches. And you can heal our nation. The ingredients are there, Lord. They're available. And we thank you for that. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to go get the doctor. Help us to go get Jesus. We know that you are the answer. Bless this time of invitation now, Lord, I pray. Speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.